Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration, this is the first Sunday after Easter, is from 1 John chapter 1. I'll begin reading now. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is God's word. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. Amen. A brush with death changes how you live the rest of your life, right? I mean, it would be strange for a man to wake up from successful heart surgery and immediately tell the nurse that he'd like a double bacon cheeseburger and fries. A brush with death tends to change the way that you live, at least for a little while. A little more than a decade ago, cardiologists in the Kansas City area did a study of their heart attack patients. 884 of them self-reported to eating fast food at least once a week, maybe more, prior to their heart attacks. So they checked in with them 6 months later. 6 months later, 503 of them were back in the drive-through lanes at least once a week. Now, shouldn't a brush with death change the way you live? Well, it can, and it often does, for a little while. Now, this isn't just an American issue either. Italian doctors did a study of 1,200 smokers who had heart attacks, and each of them stopped smoking while they were in the hospital and also expressed a desire to stop smoking permanently. But more than a year later, 60% started smoking again. In fact, almost half of them started within 20 days of leaving the hospital. Now, we may think that a brush with death changes the way that you live, and it can, even dramatically, for a little while. It seems like it would in the long run, too. We also recognize that old habits die hard, and a brush with death changes the way that you live less and less, the more and more that brush with death feels like a distant memory. Now, the past 10 days have served as brushes with death for the people of God. Good Friday is one kind of brush with death. It's a brutal brush with what the scriptures call the second death, spiritual death. As we contemplated Christ's crucifixion, we were forced to confront the true cost of our sin. The wages of sin is the second death, separation from God's loving presence, and excruciating and eternal condemnation. That grisly glimpse of what the Son of God suffered through ought to be enough to make us abhor all sin. But Good Friday is not the only brush with death. Easter Sunday is a brush with death too. Not the second death, not eternal death, but physical death, because our Christ tasted death for us. We can taunt death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. A victory which has been given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ was raised to life, we know that we will all be changed. We will bear the image of the heavenly man. Someday we will be clothed with the imperishable. Mortals like us will don immortality for eternity. And so because of Christ's powerful victory, death has no sting. In fact, it can only be our gain. But the more and more these brushes with death feel like a distant memory, the more and more we fall back into the old habits of the old Adam. That sinful nature that only seeks to harm and destroy us. Now, maybe you looked at those heart attack patients falling back into old harmful habits and thought they're rather silly. But it's not silly. It's foolish. They ought to know better, right? In reality, they do know better. But those who know better don't always live better, do they? That applies to us as well. In fact, our brushes with death should work an even more profound change, really. But instead, we often fall into old harmful habits. We think and live as if death has the final say. John tells us that what he has heard, seen, and even touched, the one who was from the beginning, the one who is the word of life, the one who unites us together with the Father and with our fellow believers, has given us life. His brushes with death ought to transform us. But we quickly lose sight of that, don't we? There are two ways that we forget these brushes with death. The first is that we treat some sins, especially hidden sins or socially acceptable sins, as if they're inconsequential. We act as if sin is no big deal. The second is that we operate as if the resurrection doesn't transform life here and now. That it's worked no real change. Now, we know better. We would never say that sin is no big deal, that Jesus' resurrection has worked no real change, but that doesn't mean that we always live better or consistently do better. We know better than to act as if sin is no big deal. The cross makes it clear that the consequences are staggering, but in our day-to-day lives, we tend to sort and rank sins. There are the really bad ones, right? The ones that hurt us, our loved ones, and our community. Things like stealing, adultery, and murder. But then there are things that are hidden, like our anger, our pride, and our covetousness. And those things seem to be relatively harmless, especially if they're just thoughts. And then, of course, there are the socially acceptable sins. Sins that we might argue are even necessary evils. We tend to think that we must lie a little if we're going to make it in this world. We tend to think that we must bite our tongue when people attack God's truth if we're going to have any friends. We tend to think that we must turn a blind eye to sin in the lives of others if we're going to have any fun in this life. We tend to think that we must refuse to forgive those who have sinned against us repeatedly if we don't want to be hurt again. As people who have seen the Word of Life die for all our sins, all these sins and more, we ought to know better, but that does not mean that we always do better, does it? Christ's brush with death ought to change our attitude towards sin, all sin. But his resurrection should transform our present lives too. Yet we frequently forget that. In our day-to-day lives, we are still fearful, just as the disciples were. Like they did, we know that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But we worry about what might happen to us here and now. We're fearful for the future of our families and our country. We see a world that's violent, selfish, and unholy. And we think, you know, Jesus cannot be Lord here and now. It must be up there or in the distant future. We let things like earthly suffering, temporary hardship, rob us of the joy that Christ has suffered to secure for us. At times we even grieve as if we have no hope. Losses of jobs, health, our loved ones, devastate, even embitter us. We should know better. But we don't always do better. And our loving Heavenly Father knows that, so he inspired his beloved apostle, John, to encourage and assure us. So listen again to John's certainty. He says, that which was from the beginning, the one we've heard, the one we've seen with our eyes, the one we've looked at, the one that our hands have touched, this is what we proclaim concerning the word of life. You can almost hear John smiling as his excitement builds. He doesn't have any doubts about what he heard, who he saw, that he physically touched God in the flesh. In fact, he is so certain that John, like his fellow apostles, was actually willing to stake his life on it. He lived differently and was even willing to die for it. Now compare that for a moment with what we saw in this same John's gospel from the first Easter evening. John and nine of the other disciples were hiding together behind locked doors for fear of the Jewish leaders. Now don't forget that John was one of the two who had already personally gone to the tomb and saw with his own eyes the grave clothes lying there. Maybe you remember how he mentioned that he outran Peter and reached the tomb first, but do you remember what he said about that experience? First, he glanced in, but he didn't go into the tomb. And he saw the grave cloth lying in its place, the strips of linen nearby. When he finally went in after Peter, John testifies that he believed. He believed that Jesus rose from the dead, even if he didn't understand why it had to be necessary. And yet, even though he believed, even though God gifted him faith, he was still there behind locked doors, struggling with fear. And his fellow disciple, Thomas, who had heard the same thing the rest of the disciples had, still had his doubts. That is why Jesus, the Word of Life, appeared. He made a point of appearing to them, speaking with them, saying to them, "Peace be with you," inviting them to look at his holy wounds, inviting them even to inspect them carefully, physically, to touch the Son of God in flesh and blood. Jesus wanted each of them to be certain. And John tells us why. In these short verses, Christ's brush with death, with eternal death, and with physical death, was meant to change our lives now and forever. Now, when I say brush with death, I do not mean that Jesus didn't really experience the full weight of hell or really physically die. He did both those things. When I say brush with death, I mean that Jesus passed through both those deaths into life. He did not stay in hell. He did not stay in the grave. Christ's brush with the second death assures us that we don't have to fear eternal death. Our sin debt has been paid in full. We have been redeemed. So we can and should take all sin seriously. But that does not mean wallowing in our shame. That means taking it to God in confession. That means repenting and believing the good news that God died for you. Christ's brush with death, with the second death, changes how we treat sin. And Christ's brush with physical death assures us that death doesn't have the final say. The Word of Life does. So the losses that we experience in this life are not lasting. In fact, even before his death, Jesus promised his disciples that all those who have left houses and loved ones and lucrative career opportunities will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. This is the promise of the Word of Life. You have hope that cannot be stolen from you. You have peace that transcends all understanding, that guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, because you have the word of life. You have Jesus. And his brush with death makes you a part of a new family. See, that's one of the reasons that John proclaims to us what eternal life has accomplished. He speaks of a fellowship that you and I share with those who were eyewitnesses and even physically with God himself. But our fellowship is greater than that. It is also with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This transforms our lives as well. We know our Heavenly Father is good. He is the source of every good and perfect gift. And we also know that his Son is good too. He is our good Samaritan. He is our good shepherd. He is our good advocate. So Jesus heals us when we are hurt. He looks for us when we are lost. He pleads our case when we have fallen short of God's glory. He strengthens us and reassures us. When we are filled with fears and doubts, he speaks tenderly, mercifully, graciously. Peace be with you. And our good God has also united us with a family of believing brothers and sisters who strive to do what is God-pleasing. This family is called to rebuke us when we've grown too comfortable with sin, but to do so patiently, with the goal of repentance. This family is called to reassure us when we have begun to think that we have sinned too much for God to love us. This family shares our burdens. This family prays for our needs. This family encourages us with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This family brings us joy. You see, that's the final thing that Christ's brush with death changes. He makes our joy complete. That is what Jesus promised John before his death on the cross. He said to John, you know, now is your time of grief, but I'll see you again and you will rejoice. You will rejoice just as a mother who has pain in childbirth and then forgets all that anguish when her child is born. That's the way it's going to be with you. And when you have that joy, no one will be able to take away your joy. It will be complete. That is the joy that John shares with us today. Joy shared is joy transferred. Joy shared is joy multiplied. If you're a parent, you know how joyful you were when you welcomed a child into this world. Your joy was transferred and even multiplied when you shared that good news with others. That's just the way that joy works. And our joy has been transferred and multiplied as we proclaim what we have seen, what we have heard about Jesus, what we know about his love, his power, his mercy, his peace, about all the realities that his resurrection has secured and assures us of. Jesus makes our joy complete. His brush with both deaths gives us a new, eternal, and joy-filled lease on life. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you the confidence that we have. What our eyes have seen by faith, what our ears have heard concerning the word of life, we proclaim to you. You have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I proclaim this to you that our joy, might be complete. If you'd like to learn more about this Jesus who lived for you, who died for your sins, who rose to life for your justification, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll have an opportunity to learn more about what we believe and teach and to join us for worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. May God continue to bless and keep you as he fills you with his peace. Until next time.